Ooh, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's playoffs time.
Woo, not quite. Is the play-in really the playoff? It's postseason time.
Postseason
really.
Time. Yeah. Last day was today.
Where do those stats go? Did we ever find out? Are those still just shoved off to the side somewhere?
I think they are just their own thing. Yeah. Play-in stats.
It's so weird.
Mm-hmm. I feel like who's played the most play-in games? Is it the Warriors?
Or the Lakers. I feel like Lakers-Warriors are always in the play-in.
They love the play-in. Yeah, Lakers actually, they were in the play-in last year, right? And then they made conference finals?
Yeah.
And same with Miami, right?
Yeah, both. Both of them. New Orleans is another team that'll be in back-to-back play-in games because they played OKC in one of the play-in games last year.
Right. Oh, and beat them, right? OKC didn't make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, neither did New Orleans. Because that was the 9-10, so New Orleans must have lost to whoever. Ended up getting the 8th seed.
Like Minnesota or something, maybe?
Yeah, it was Minnesota. Okay. Because Denver had the 1 seed last year, and that was a first-round matchup.
Right. But, well, we have the most matchups are locked in. At least, the season's done. We have the play-in, which, in the East, the 9-10, which we've known for a few days, that it's going to be the Bulls and the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now it's confirmed that it's going to be the Sixers versus the Heat. Jimmy Butler revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a fucking spicier.
That'll be an insane playing game. That's like on the level that the Western Conference playing games are going to be at. Philly, Miami, honestly, like those two teams are more exciting than like all the three teams above them who actually made the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Pacers, Magic, Cavs.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck about those teams. I mean, I'm cheering for Orlando. They're my favorite team in the East that made the playoffs, but I don't exactly have high hopes for a deep run with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cavs are gettable.
Yeah.
In that series. That's one series.
Oh, man, the Cavs series is going to decide a lot. Like, if they go another first-round exit, like, I feel like they just trade Donovan Mitchell or something.
Yeah, I feel like they're probably going to trade him anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah. Who was it? I think Paul Pierce said that they should trade him to the Lakers for LeBron James, one for one.
What?
Paul Pierce, man. Who put a mic in front of that man? It's one of those things that when you first hear it, you're like, maybe. And then as soon as you do any thought into it, you're like, what? That makes no sense. But yeah.
Bring LeBron home.
Cleveland, the thing about Cleveland in the Mitchell situation is that like, they're in a better position than like what a lot of people say about them, because it's not like they're just a Mitchell team. Like, they got a lot of other pieces. And so, like,
right, and pretty young.
Yeah, and like, you'll get a lot back from Mitchell for sure. I don't know, with another full year, especially if they do in the offseason.
But they're not like so young, though. Like, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing. Like, do you want to just get draft picks, or are you trying to get like another player?
I would probably go player for them. Because
Mobley's their only one who's still on a rookie contract, right? Like, Allen's on a new one, Garland's on a new one. Like, they're not, like, the youngest. It's kind of like the Hawks situation where, like, do we want to trade DeJounte for a bunch of young players? But, like, Trae Young's not that young.
Yeah, for sure. But I think, like, you can trade Mitchell and you can trade Allen for a lot of pieces. And just, like, doing those two trades makes your roster make so much more sense. Like,
true.
In general. Yeah, I mean, they got some decisions, and that series will decide a lot. The other series that we know about in the East is Milwaukee versus Indiana, which is spicy. Spiciest first-round series, pending some play-in games.
Yeah,
obviously,
beef.
If Miami plays Boston in the first round, that'll be another one where there's a little bit beef there.
Yeah.
But no, I think Milwaukee-Indiana is going to be a contentious series. Because like, the thing is, it felt like they played each other three times in like a two-week period because of the in-season tournament. And all of those games, there was beef in them. Like, something going on.
Well, and then the most famous one is the Giannis dropping 63 or something, 62, maybe 60. Yeah. And then Indy taking the ball home.
Yeah, for Oscar Shibway's first, I think, only NBA point. I actually don't think he scored another point all year, and I think he was cut from the roster.
Damn.
But I'm glad he got the ball from that game, at least.
Yeah. He'll always remember this as Giannis's.
Honestly, I will say, if you only get one point in your career, I feel like getting the game ball is way bigger for your first game than, like,
well, it wasn't his only point, because if you include in-season tournament, he did score a free throw.
Yeah. It was an in-season tournament game, though, that he got the ball for, scoring it. I swear. Or was it the one right after? Because they played each other in an in-season and non-in-season within a week of each other.
No, Giannis definitely didn't have the career high in the in-season tournament, because Pacers played Lakers, and the Bucks won.
Yeah, in the finals.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, that is a fun series.
Yeah, for sure.
You were saying it's the most hyped series we have right now, just from terms of like emotion.
Yeah.
But I do think that because we also in the West, we know that the Mavs and Clippers are playing. That's going to be the series to look for.
For sure. I mean, like, both their series. T-Wolves versus Suns will be a lot of fun, too. Yeah,
that's fun, too.
Especially because I've heard good things about Cat being available for that series, which would make things a lot better. I really hope Cat plays in that series.
Do you think they're weirdly better without Cat?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that's false. I think that's, like, the people who say that the Knicks are better without Randall. Like, I don't believe that when you lose, like, a star player like that, that you're better.
I can kind of see where those people are coming from, too.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you right now as a Raptors fan, if they play Precious Achiuwa in playoff games, they're not winning more than one round.
I mean, they're going to have to face either Philly or Miami, so they're going to have a tough.
First round.
That's your reward for being the second seed. Is you get either Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid.
Yeah, no, it's no big deal having a center Mitchell Robinson who fouls everyone that he sees playing against either Joel Embiid or Bam Adebayo. Either possibly the best foul drawer in the league, or like a really high level foul drawer.
That is gonna be fun.
Yeah, Clippers Mavs will be fun as well.
For the third time in 5 years, 4 years,
5 years, I think, because when Dallas went to the conference finals, they didn't play them.
Right, and also, last year they missed the playoffs. Yeah.
Also, that series is kind of big because, like, not to discount OKC or the teams in the play-in, but it really feels like that lane is kind of open to the conference finals, because Denver's not on that side. Because you get to
avoid Denver.
As opposed to Minnesota-Phoenix, where, like, it's going to feel good, but that series is going to be like a knock-em-down, drag-em-out series just to play Denver in the next round.
Right.
And, like,
that's tough.
Denver's going to be playing either the Pelicans or the Lakers, and I think Lakers are the better of those two teams, but they swept the Lakers last year in the playoffs, so they might be on big rest going against a team that just played a because I think Minnesota-Phoenix is going to...
Mm-hmm.
I have a good feeling about that one going the distance, and if I'm Devin Booker, like, the way I'm looking at that series is, like, I've heard all this talk about Ant Edwards having next. Did we already forget who the best shooting guard in the league is right now? Like,
that's spicy.
Yeah, I feel like the crown's there. Best shooting guard in the league. Yep. I mean, like, Donovan Mitchell might have a word to say there. But I feel like at least partially you could get the crown for that series, you know?
For sure.
New Orleans, LA will be fun. Really fun. Anytime it's Zion versus LeBron, it'll be good. Actually, the Lakers don't need to go anywhere because they played in New Orleans today. So I'm assuming they're just going to stay.
When is the playing game, by the way?
Like 2 days from now. Just the first one.
So yeah, they probably will just stay.
Yeah. And then Sacramento, Golden State, where they won't need to travel up until the day of the game either because of how close it is. So there won't be a whole lot of traveling, which is nice.
For the Western players.
Yeah, and if the Lakers lose that first game, then they might not even, like, either of the California teams won't even have to travel that much after that. So, you know, we might be saving some jet fuel on this year's play-in tournament.
Perfect.
I really hope Sacramento beats Golden State as a Sacramento fan, but I'm in a very much minority there.
I don't care too much. I feel like they're either going to lose to the Lakers/Pels or definitely lose to Denver, so, like, who cares?
OKC is who they'd play.
Right. OKC has the one seed. Ooh, actually,
which is doable.
That's doable.
That's doable for, like, a Golden State or a Sacramento. It would be an uphill battle. And I don't think Sacramento has the pieces for it, but I think Golden State could fuck around just because, like, I don't know what to expect from OKC. Mm-hmm. And, like, I know what the ceiling is on Golden State, and that is, like, beating any team that doesn't have real size. Like, their biggest problem is size, and, like, Chet Holmgren doesn't scare me that much for size wise. Mm-hmm.
But Sabonis?
Sabonis is kind of scary, but. And he's going to be healthier this year than when they played him in the playoffs last year.
But last year really put you off him in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, he's just never been that good in the playoffs. Like, in Indiana, like, those are some of the most forgettable first-round playoff outs of recent memory.
But that team is so weird.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, it's fun that that's, like, a first-round matchup rematch. Is a cool storyline. Sacramento and Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron versus Zion is a cool storyline. Chicago and Atlanta are playing each other, and then Philly versus Miami is a fun storyline because those are really good, two really good teams, and, like, Yeah, as you said, Jimmy Butler revenge.
And you were talking about, we got to hope that the winner of Chicago and Atlanta loses the loser of Philly-Miami.
Because
what's the record difference between, like, let's say...
Between Atlanta and Philly is 11 games.
Which is the furthest.
Yeah, or it's 10 games between Atlanta and Miami. Like, it's minimum a 7-game difference.
That's, yeah. And then compared to the West, which is like a 2-game difference.
Yeah. Well, like, Miami's, like, 4 games off of second place, and then, like, 10 games off of 10th. So, like, if they were to, like, not make the playoffs, that is so fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Chicago's worst-case scenario, if Atlanta makes the playoffs and faces Boston in the first round, like, I guess that's kind of cool, because it's a rematch from last year. But okay. It's not like that series was that competitive last year. I mean, it went 6, but it's, like, one of those where, like...
It never felt that close.
Yeah, for a 6-game series. The gentleman
the Boston sweep. Was up 3-0 and then Atlanta won 2. Okay.
Atlanta feels like they could win 1 game or 2 games against any team just from having Trae Young. But right. I don't know how he's going to look coming into the playoffs. I mean, like, really, whoever of Philly and Miami, like, if Philly, Chicago, or Atlanta are in that 8 seed, I give them like a 0% chance against Boston. And the only reason that I don't group Miami with them is because Miami has some sort of... They must have like...
They have their number.
Yeah, they have something. They have some sort of intel. Like, I would... Like, if I'm Philly...
Philly, you're putting Philly in that group? You don't think Joel Embiid
has no shot against Boston? No way. I don't think so.
I think there's a world.
I don't think so. He hasn't given me confidence that he's fully healthy either. He doesn't really move super well in the game since he's been back. He moves fine, but like they need him to be great to beat Boston. And I just think that's a tall order. And I think Maxey is going to have... he's going to be switching between Jrue Holiday and Derek White guarding him on every possession. Yikes, man. Because like the key would be in that series to have just Tobias Harris force Tatum to work and run a lot of your offense through him. And he's kind of been bad at the end of this season. Unless Embiid gets some sort of injection that he can move better than he's been moving like all year, or not all year, but since he came back, I just don't have faith.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he's much closer to Miami. I have as much faith as I do for Miami, I think.
I just have more faith in Miami because I've seen them beat Boston. Philly lost. Philly this choked against Boston, Boston last
this is
year.
A different Boston team. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, true. Philly choked to that same team.
Miami was on the precipice of choking even harder, but they didn't. So
Miami almost lost the play-in game last year to the Hawks.
Yeah.
Weren't they down like 20 or something in that game? Like they were down.
Yeah,
a lot.
They were down a lot. They were down like 20 in like the third quarter or something like that. Oh, now that I'm looking at it, I'm just realizing that. The only change in play-in this year is that we're not in it and Philly's in it instead. Because Miami, Chicago, and Atlanta all were in the play-in last year.
Got it.
Because Chicago beat us.
A lot of repeat offenders in the play-in.
Yeah, for sure. Because the Lakers were in the play-in last year, too. And so was New Orleans.
What was Sacramento seed last year?
3?
3? Okay.
Yeah, because they had home court against Golden State.
The Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, which was wild. That was a wild series because... Sacramento won in game 6 and Golden State to force game 7. And then in Sacramento is where Curry dropped 50.
Yeah. But also, like, Fox was, like, really bad, but also hurt.
He broke his finger or something like that in the third or fourth game. I'm worried if I'm Golden State, because, like, there's a difference between wasting a year of Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox. Like, the NBA is not losing a whole lot from that.
But wasting a year of Steph.
Wasting a year of Steph is tough. I mean, like, yeah, I'm cheering for Sacramento, but, like, the NBA storyline is better if Golden State wins that game. Especially if the Lakers lose that game, like, Lakers versus Warriors.
Yeah.
Do you think the Lakers, I guess the Lakers or the Pelicans won't want to throw? Because the winner of that game plays Denver, and the loser has a chance to play OKC.
I see, but the loser of...
But, like, it's too scary.
Yeah.
It's too scary.
You can't just for one game.
Oh, man. Well, that's...
you can keep that in the back of your mind. Like, at least if we lose, we're avoiding Denver. But you have to try and win.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because it's a one game after
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
It's like you're playing
a
series.
If it was
a
series,
yeah.
I could see maybe that.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people... Like, because New York won today to get the 2 seed. And that means they're going to guaranteed play Philly or Miami. And I know a lot of people were like, they probably shouldn't have won and let Milwaukee take that series.
Right.
And then they could have gone to Indiana. But, like, I think that's bullshit. I think... I don't know. If you're a team like that, like, you don't want to... get in the habit of losing. Unless you really got to rest your stars at the end of the season, then I could see doing it. But if they're ready to go, like, get as many reps in as possible. I don't want to take a... I don't want to take, like, a full week off or a week and a half off from my stars before the playoffs.
Right. Well, it's, like, the rest versus rust thing,
they say. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It comes up a lot of if, like, people have, like, a short series and then, like, another series goes to game seven.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's kind of true. I at least in my... I have no idea if the numbers back, but it does feel like the team that just went to seven usually takes game one, but then like kind of slows down.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. Like especially like a team that like sweeps another team and then has to wait for the seventh game to end always looks so bad in game, the game one. They look really, really bad. You kind of felt that in the Miami versus Denver series, where the first couple games it felt like close, and it was like, whoa. Yeah. But then by game three, it was like, oh, okay. This is about what I expected. Yeah. All right, well, that's the outlook for the playoffs. We'll know more in a couple days when everyone plays each other.
After the play-in.
The only number that we need to care about for the Raptors is like the 48% or whatever chance that we have of getting the first overall
pick. Right, so we are officially worse than the Grizzlies.
Yep.
But unfortunately, we're better than the Blazers.
Yep.
Making us the sixth.
Six chances. Six best chance.
Yeah, I was going to say the sixth seed, but like the reverse sixth
seed. Yeah.
24th seed.
Yeah, sixth seed of the losers. 25th. 27.6, 37.2, 45, 45.8% chance of,
keeping our pick,
which I'm kind of fine either way. If we get a high pick, that's sick. I don't care how bad the draft looks. Like if we get a top three pick, that is awesome.
Right.
And if we don't keep the pick, then, we get to keep our pick for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And something tells me we're gonna be in a similar position next year. I think.
I mean, it kind of depends. Like, yeah, if we hit one of those top picks,
that's what I'm saying. Like, then I don't really care. Then we can give up the pick next year. But if we don't get a pick this year, then like it might be time to be like, hey, what's the realistic outlook for next season?
Right.
I mean, we'll see. The thing is, Scottie Barnes was a lot better this year. If he makes another jump, then
and he was hurt.
Yeah. And like, the more he plays with RJ, like, the more that'll look.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of Raptors fans are kind of high on Emmanuel quickly making a jump next year. And I even heard a Raptors podcast saying that they were thinking of putting money on him for most improved next year. I would love for that to happen. He frustrates me a lot.
Yeah, doubt.
Yeah, it's a big doubt for me. I mean, he's the right type of player to do it. I mean, he could make that jump. But, like, he's just, like, the playmaking is good. But it seems like he doesn't want to be a playmaker is the thing that frustrates me with him. Because he has not bad passing vision, but like he doesn't want to use it. Like when he makes passes, it's good. In games where he has like 15 assists, it looks good. But like, I don't know. Feels like he's a little more score first.
Definitely. Super score first. And I mean, he's just not that good of a defender either.
No, he's bad.
Yeah.
He's really bad. And we don't really have another guard defender to cover up for that. Like Bruce Brown is good.
Yeah. RJ's all right.
Yeah. But like yeah, we need more from a lot of different places, but who knows? We'll see what the team looks like next year. Like we got some cap space. We're going to give out mid-level to somebody. I don't know what position that would be. Maybe some backup
guard. We have money. What about Paul George? You think he'd come to Toronto?
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, maybe
30 mil, throw it at Tobias Harris. don't re-sign Emmanuel quickly so we have enough money to bring in Tobias Harris and Klay Thompson and win 32 games next year.
Let's go.
Oh man, yeah, we'll see. We'll see for money for next year. Boston just re-signed Drew Holiday.
I know, so their entire top eight are locked in for next year.
Yep, because it's their starting five plus Horford, Hauser, and Pritchard.
Wow.
Yeah.
So expect this next year. If it doesn't, whatever happens this year, this come back next year.
And I did a little bit of research, and Denver has their top eight also locked in, except for Reggie Jackson and KCP, who both have player options. KCP's at $15 million. Feels like something he'll probably pick up with that team. I just don't see him wanting to not pick that up. Reggie Jackson at $4 million will not pick that up. Dennis Schroeder, we gave about $13 million over 2 years last year to him as a mid-level guy. And if I'm Reggie Jackson, I'm pointing at that contract and being like, hey, that's my role. That's like my kind of contract, right? So I would imagine that he might end up back with them. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. But if I were him, I would ask for a little more money. $4 million is a bit of an underpay for him, but we'll see. If they win the championship, then you can't really judge anybody for coming back on whatever the contract is, right?
Just to run it back.
Especially to give it a chance at the three-peat if they were to win the championship this year.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, enough of looking at the future. Let's look at the past.
Okay.
Let's look into the past to... We made some...
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you actually just bring up that page one more time?
This one?
You're doing a great transition, but how does Houston has a top four protected pick? Why weren't they, like, going for that?
The Rockets?
Yeah.
Because they committed to playing.
Yeah, I guess.
They had a chance to play within, like, 2 weeks of the end of the season.
I know, but I guess...
Like, you don't sign sign Fred VanVleet in the offseason.
No, but that's what I'm... Like, why did they have that whole mindset? Like, I thought it was because this was one of the... Well, I guess this is a year where they're giving it up. But I didn't realize they had a protection on it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
I just don't think they could have been worse. they could have gotten worse than... Like, they could have maybe gone down to 8th. Like, I don't think they would have been worse than Memphis or us this year. I don't think they're winning less than 25 games. Because, like, you think about the two players who were best for them this year, and it's Şengün and it's Green. And, like Freddie and Brooks were not the guys winning them all those games. Like, they helped, but, like, they would have still won a lot of games with the jumps from those guys.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
And, like, whatever. Like, at some point, you have enough young players. Like, you only have so many minutes. And you have, like, Thompson needs to get minutes. And Tari'Eason needs to get minutes. And, like, they just brought in Steven Adams to be their backup center. Mm. Like, they've got a full rotation. So now they just got to hope for internal development.
Okay. I see that. I can see that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Why doesn't Golden State have their pick? What the fuck they give that away for?
Probably some dumb bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish they would show what it was traded for on here.
Yeah.
I like Brooklyn. Brooklyn tried their darndest to be competitive this year. I think we've just come to the conclusion that Mikal Bridges isn't in any universe a 1 or 2. Mm-hmm. He's a 3.
Congratulations on 6th year in a row. 80 games? 50 in a row?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily 80 games, but all the games, because there's 2 short seasons in there.
See, Buddy Hield played, it was something like 85 or 86 games. Like, it was, like, the most games played in the season in, like, a while.
Wow, and, okay.
Because he's another Iron Man. He plays a lot of games every year. And so, like, when he got traded from Indiana to Philly, he must have had gotten some extra games in there.
Of course.
Which is nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I think the record's actually a lot. I think the record's, like, almost 90 games.
Yeah, I think it is like 89 or something like that. It's crazy. That's a fun record.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those where it's like, I guess it's beatable. Like, Mikal Bridges got traded between teams with a big disparity.
Right.
And especially with, like, the way that the in-season tournament is now, where certain teams can get front-loaded. Like, let's say he's on an in-season tournament champion at the beginning of the year, and then gets traded to a team that didn't make, like, the playoffs for the in-season tournament.
Then you could make those games up.
Yeah, you can make those games
up. Is it possible to get 2 trades in a single season?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's 90 days. Like, Harden could have been traded again at the trade deadline.
Got it. So that's another way to do it.
Yep, for sure. We'll see. I'll keep an eye on it. where was I? Oh, I was transitioning.
You were.
Where is the document at hand? I've got way too many documents.
You gotta title these.
Yeah, yeah. Put one of my Gage Jones titles on these.
No, like, you gotta use real titles.
Okay, there we go. Oh, by the way, you owe me $50 for this.
Damn. Spoiled it.
Yeah, I'm gonna spoil it beforehand. Because as of April 8th, I beat you, which was when I did the original document for this. I was at 6 wins above the threshold.
Dang.
With 59 games left in the season. Yeah, it was pretty close. Yeah, you're only like 70 games behind me with 59 to play. You know. I wonder how close you got. I didn't do the math. once I figured out like that I was ahead of you, it was over. It was over for me.
I screwed myself with the Grizzlies.
Yeah, well, there's a couple places that people were screwed both ways.
So this is the bet on just team wins, which teams will get the most wins.
Mm-hmm.
And we draft, we took turns drafting. And you got the first pick, which was BS.
Thank God. Thank God we didn't tie, because it was a bare knuckle fight to the death was what decided if we tied.
Yeah, I'd rather just lose the 50.
I think the 50 bucks is way better. I actually have like the what we said about each pick on here too, so I'll go through the picks and I'll say what we said about it.
Okay.
I got the first pick. I picked the Boston Celtics. You said that's what I would have picked. I yeah, said course. No explanation needed. And after the season, there's still no explanation
they're
needed.
Honestly even better than we thought.
For sure. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
The second pick for you, Milwaukee. I said that would have been my third pick.
Okay.
So you left me my second pick. You lost.
Well, I went back to back, so.
Yeah. You lost seven games, but picking Milwaukee second over what the second best team was.
Okay.
So that was a missed pick, but can't blame you. They look good coming into the year. Who knew that they'd have so many coaching problems?
Yeah.
I
thought Dame would be more seamless.
Yeah, for sure. Third, you picked Phoenix.
Stupid.
I said that would have been my fifth pick, so you left me my second and fourth. You lost eight games on Phoenix as well. So between those two picks, you lost 15 games, and who would have been second and third. And then I get Denver with the fourth pick.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You said the reason you didn't pick them is because they are one Jokic injury away from getting 30 wins.
Okay. I could kind of see that.
I said I have faith in the Jamal jump. Jamal didn't make a jump,
no.
And I can't believe you were betting injuries on a player who like has no history of that.
I don't know.
Like, sure, I agree that they're one of Jokic and Drew away from 30 wins, but like, what? It's like
there's a lot of teams like that.
Yeah, I
picked Milwaukee.
I gained one win on that.
Okay, good pick.
Then I picked Cleveland. I said sneaky high on regular season wins, low on championship odds. I still, you know, I believe that. You said you don't trust Mitchell, but that would have been your next pick there.
Okay.
I'm assuming when you said you don't trust Mitchell that you didn't trust him to stay on that team, because
right.
I think you know how good
he
is.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, no way.
I said I was expecting a Mobley jump, which didn't really happen this year, but I lost four wins on Cleveland. All these high ones, like, you're expected to lose a little bit, just because, like, you know.
You just pick literally the best teams.
Yep. Then, at number six, you pick Memphis.
The throw.
You lost 21 games on. You said young teams who are good are great bets.
That's so true, but I should have just gone with the other West young teams.
I emphatically was like, oh yeah. I said missing out on Ja for the beginning of the year, but they will be fine. The backcourt is Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane. Marcus Smart played 20 games this year. Desmond Bane played 42.
Also,
Ja Morant played like 9.
Yeah. Ja came back and left right away.
This is a pick that kind of got fucked by injuries, but I also think you were underestimating
how bad they'd be.
The 25 games without Ja.
Well, because before they were good without Ja.
Yeah,
but not this year.
No,
yeah, they were
year.
Really bad.
And it always kind of felt fake that they were good
yeah,
without Ja. Like, at
sure.
least a little bit. Like, it was like, I mean, come on. you lost 21 games on that, which I think is the biggest loser of any
I'd imagine.
Draft. Next, you picked the Philadelphia 76ers. My response was, wow! and then I said, of teams on the board, you picked my second and fourth picks of teams that were left. So
okay.
you left my next pick. But yeah, you lost three games on Philly. Not a bad pick there.
It's okay. Especially with Embiid getting injured.
Then I picked the Lakers. You said you were thinking about them. I lost one game on the Lakers.
If you
are within three wins, I would say, of where the team ended up, like, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, it's close enough. Then, at number nine, the first big upside team is the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is the most pissed either of us were about stealing a piss. That was going to be your next pick, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I actually think that's going to be value at the ninth pick. And then you said, that's going to be a really valuable pick.
Why didn't I just pick in that?
I said, I think Anthony Edwards is going to play a lot of games. And if Kat plays more than 40 games, they're a shoo-in for at least 40 wins. And Kat did play more than 40 games this year.
I said,
year.
That's a great, great pick.
Yeah.
And it was.
You were emphatic. You were pissed that I took that, which I don't know why you just
didn't
take them.
If I really want him that bad.
Then you take the Atlanta Hawks next, which you lose 10 wins on. I said, whoa, I like it. I'm also kind of high on the Hawks for this year. We were kind of in lockstep of being idiots, of having zero brain.
I feel like a lot of people were, though. People thought the Hawks would be good. Because full year with Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, no, DeJounte Murray, you know, figuring his way in.
Didn't, no.
Then you take the Pelicans with 11, which you're even on. I was like, oh! Pelicans is a swing pick. Who knows? It wasn't. It was exact value at number 11.
They were the 11th
best. You said it could be big or it could be throwing. It wasn't big and you weren't throwing. Then I said I'm going to take two very white bread standard, not going to win more than 50 games, not going to lose more than 40, and pick two teams back-to-back, which hit. I was dead on.
Yeah, those are great choices.
And those were the Knicks and the Kings. You said you were looking at both those teams. I said you kind of know what you're going to get with both the teams there. Not a lot of deviance.
Okay.
And I mean, like, one of them lost Julius Randle for most of the year. It still wasn't much deviance. Those are, then you picked the Golden State Warriors. I said, great pick. That would have been my next pick. You lost two games on them.
Ouch. I've not gotten
it's about to change. Then you picked the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, there we go.
I said that would have been my next pick after that. We were back on the same page again. Warriors were a great pick. You kind of screwed me over on that one. But that's okay because it kind of sounds like I screwed you over on my T-Wolves pick. In hindsight, I did screw you over on the T-Wolves pick.
Yeah, and the Warriors were fine.
Yeah, you gained 3 wins on Dallas. I said, I'm going to go a little crazy here, and I did go crazy. My next two picks literally won me this whole thing, basically. At 16, I picked the Clippers, which I get 6 wins on. You said, nice, nice. That's another one that could be huge. It was.
It was.
And then I said, I just need a team that's going to just get me a bunch of wins and be pretty good no matter what. And I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Oh, that's huge.
For 10, so that's 16 wins. Picking Clippers and Thunder at 16th and 17th.
Is that the biggest plus? Plus 10?
Nope.
Wow, okay.
No, we got two bigger ones. Yeah, you said nice. I like that. I'm going to pick a team in the same vein. And you picked the Indiana Pacers. Good pick. You got 2 wins on that. I said, well, I don't think they're going to be that good, but I know a lot of people are high on them. Yeah, I was kind of a hater before the season. I didn't see it with Tyrese. Said looking at the East is tough, and I think, and I just said I think I'm kind of a hater, though. I was being a hater. Then after we call you out on Indiana, you pick Chicago, who you lost one game on, and I said, yeah, that's a good pick, is my comment on that one.
That's so funny.
Then I picked the Miami Heat, which we were both kind of low on. I got 6 extra wins on them at 20. You said, I keep staring at them, and I'm like, I just don't trust you. I said, I don't hate you picking the Bulls over the Heat. I do kind of hate you picking the Pacers over the Heat, which is hilarious. Yeah, that I thought the backwards. Bulls were going to be better than the Pacers this year. Then I picked the Raptors, who I lost 11 wins on. I think it's my biggest loss of any team that I picked.
Nice.
I said, my comment was, let's go, baby. And you said, the home pick. Now this podcast is officially rooting for you.
Okay, nice.
We won podcast.
We won. We did it.
And then I pled with you not to pick a team that honestly you should have picked, but you did not. You picked the Utah Jazz at 22. You get -2 wins on them. I said, thank God. You said, I know who you don't want me to pick. We all know who you didn't want me to pick.
Oh, and that was a great... I should have taken it.
I should have taken them. Utah, you losing 2 games on them there. Actually, them and Brooklyn, the only difference is that you haven't flipped at 22nd and 23rd. Okay. They're both the pick at those two spots.
I see.
But, you know, whatever. You pick Brooklyn next.
Oh, you sauce me.
With plus 2.
Holy shit.
You said, I'll leave you your guys. I said, thank God, let's fucking go. I had 2 teams I really liked here, and one of them I picked way too low, and one of them I picked way too high. I said, honestly, I'm taking 2 teams. I'm high on both these teams. I took Orlando, who was a plus 19 swing at 24.
Damn, biggest plus of the draft.
I said, I know that was the one you were eyeing. I said, I would have been devastated if you took them in that last spot. You said, I just don't agree with you, so I like that they ended up on your team.
Oh, so dumb.
And then I said, hold on to something, Anthony, because I wanted to do something a little spicy. And I picked Portland Trailblazers with the 6th last pick and still somehow managed to lose out on 4 games with them. And you said, that also makes sense. I'm glad you got them.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
And then I said, just something I like to say here. I've done some mocks for win totals, and we're officially out of the 30-win teams. There's 5 teams left in the draft. 7 teams won less than 30 this year. I missed out on Memphis, Portland, and Toronto.
Okay.
I mean, Portland I was just too high on.
Right.
Memphis and Toronto. Toronto we were high on for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And then there is one team lower than this that did a lot better than we thought they would this year. Next, you picked Charlotte. You said the best of the rest are the Charlotte Hornets. They were not. You lost 2 wins on taking them. But then you did pick the best of the rest with the next one. And which was my best of the rest too. Houston Rockets plus 19 swing. At
okay,
27th. Fourth last
that game. that was my MVP pick. That was
oh the best yeah, pick I had. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Houston and Orlando going this low just shows right. like how much things can change in a season. then I said, "Have fun with the Wizards, buddy." I picked the Pistons at 28 and lost 6 wins on the third last place team. Then I picked the Spurs. I gained 4 wins. Oh, these win totals are from like a little less than a week ago. Okay. So they're plus 1 or 2, I would say. Because I think the Spurs actually did better to finish out the season.
Yeah.
And then you took the Washington Wizards. Well, didn't take them. They fell into your lap, which you did gain some wins on. They were not the worst team in the league this year. Good job.
But I think it's only by 1, right? I think.
At the very end? Yeah, only by 1. Only by 1.
Okay.
I said, that's I don't know guess. What you think. I don't know about you, but I think the Wizards are going to be pretty easily the worst team in the league this year. I think they will have a hard time breaking the 20-win mark. They won 15 games. That was a good call by me.
Yeah, that's how bad the Pistons would be.
You said, I'm happy. I would have gone Pistons-Wizards if I were you. I'm not that high on the Spurs. Both of us kind of thought the Pistons would be like...
decent. Like, imagine if I went Pistons-Wizards. I mean, whatever. It's at the very end. Like, it wouldn't have made that big of a difference. That's so funny.
By the way, the Spurs won 8 games more than the Pistons this year, which is wild. I think San Antonio is going to be very bad this year, too. They're Wizards West. I just think they have a little more complete of a roster than the Wizards, which honestly is not the case. No. I think the Wizards have a more complete roster, but the Spurs just have one.
Carried.
Yeah. I said people are high on Tyus Jones, but I think he's on a team with not much talent. Things can go south pretty quick. Call by me, because people were like, oh, Tyus Jones should get his own team. Like, he's like one of the best backup point guards in the league. He's a backup.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Wizards players like that this year. Jordan Poole was the same, where it's like, he's just a backup, for sure.
I feel like Denny had a pretty good season.
He did. He had a good... Him and Kuzma, and I mean, they got value for Gafford. They got first-round pick, so... But he had a good year while he was there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Denny and Kuzma are the only two.
Bright spots.
Yeah. Bilal looks good, but he's like a few years out. He's a raw prospect. Body. Yeah. You said, I'm really happy with my picks. I said, I don't think either of us fumbled that draft.
I did.
and then I said, Boston, Denver, Milwaukee, Phoenix is safe at the top. Should have stopped after Boston and Denver. And you said Donovan Mitchell doesn't seem happy at all, was the last quote on that.
True, and that's still the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then, also, what's weird is Dame also is kind of like that now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll see with him. Like, he had some troubling quotes about Milwaukee this year. And then I had my mock win totals, and I asked you for over-unders on them. So we're going to see, first of all, how close I was on win totals.
Right.
And second of all, whether your over-unders were good or bad picks.
Right. I remember you were texting me saying that you were working on this. You said there was one, or is it a couple, where I straight up gave 2 different answers.
Yeah, there's one that you gave 2 different answers on. First, I get Boston at 59 wins. I also didn't do 0.5. I gave a single win total. Oh, so good. If I get any of these on the nose, I'm a fucking god. Nice. I would just like to say. Boston, I said 59. You took the over on. Pretty easy over to take. They won 5 extra games, but I don't really blame myself for setting it at 59.
Right.
Like, you can't set win totals above the 60s unless it's like the KD Warriors.
Right.
I set Denver at 56. You took the under on them. The Denver Nuggets this year won 57 games, so you're just wrong. Also, a really good line by me, but it's Denver. Like, come on. You know how good they're going to be. Milwaukee at 53 wins. You took the over. They won 49 games this year.
Damn.
Not a terrible line by me. And I don't hate you taking the over on that either at the time. Mm. Cleveland at 52, you took the under on, which they won less than that. They won 48.
Yep.
Phoenix at 50, you took over on.
Damn, I'm tripping.
They won 49, though. They were 2 wins away from being that over. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's just how the West is. Mm-hmm. And that's the 6th seed.
Yeah. Also, like, nice Phoenix line. I kind of took the middle road because I feel like you could be high or low on them coming into the season. I thought 50 was, like, mid. And they had a mid season.
Yep.
Like, they looked... Like, Kevin Durant looked good when he played. Nurkic and Grayson Allen were much better as role players than I thought they'd be. Because everyone was like, the role players don't look good. But, like, Eric Gordon and Nurkic and Grayson Allen all had really good role player years.
Yeah.
49 games. They're one off. Los Angeles Lakers at 50, you took the under on. Good call. Based. They won 47. Memphis Grizzlies, you took the over on 49 wins.
Oh!
They did get halfway there.
They did get halfway? Nice.
I think they did. What was that 25 wins is halfway there? Yeah, they got halfway there.
Let's go.
You took the under on 49 wins for Minnesota. Once again, you were like high in your brain on Minnesota coming into the season, but you just never acted on it.
Right, okay.
Because I remember we had conversations about how we both thought Minnesota would be good.
Right. But I didn't think they'd be that good.
Yeah, and you would not think they'd be that good. They were. Philadelphia took the over on 48 wins. They won 47, and you got to think, like, Embiid being hurt.
Okay,
like,
that's
a fine pick. They clear 48. The reason I was like, that's kind of low for how they ended up being this year. But coming into the season, the Harden stuff was real. And I thought that was going to drag out. Like, I thought that was going to be,
Because
they resolved it, like, a week into the season, two weeks in. And I was like, that's going to be messy.
True, yeah. I forget that James Harden was on the Sixers at the start of the season.
Yep, yeah, when we made all this. We put all of it together. New York, I said 48 wins. You took the under. They won 50 games. So you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
Sacramento, you took the under at 47 wins. They were at 46 wins. You're a genius.
Based.
Also, I'm pretty close on a lot.
You are. You're really good.
Golden State at 46 wins. You took the under on. It was a trick question. I hit it exactly on the head on that one at 46.
You do.
I knew.
Would I say under?
Yeah, you took the under on that.
Sure.
I feel like, you know what? Like,
I mean, realistically, it should get more if Draymond doesn't get suspended so much.
Yeah. Are they a better team without Draymond? No, I'm kidding. They've been so good at the end of this season. New Orleans, I said 45. You took the over. They won 49 games.
Nice.
Solid over. Atlanta, you took the over at 45 wins. I think they won 36. we were both high on Atlanta. 45 is a wild line in hindsight.
Yeah.
And then I set the Dallas over-under at 44, which you took the over on, which is good based. Because they won 50, I believe, if not 51. Yeah, they won 50. And then you took the under on Clippers at 43 and OKC at 42 back-to-back.
What was I thinking?
Clippers won 8 more games than that, and the Thunder won 15 more games than that. And then we said in the podcast, we were like, won 41 games last year, and I was like, oh, I'm only setting it one higher than last year, and I was like, oh, whatever, I don't think we're going to be that much better. You're like, yeah, I agree, I'm staying with the under.
That's crazy, I sort of bet they're over. Or
like maybe.
I must have been after this.
Miami is the team. I asked you at 40, took the over, and then we talked about something else, and I came back, and I was like, what did you say for Miami? And you're like, oh, I don't really remember, but I think I said under.
So we're going with under.
We're going with under, and they won 46 games. They went over.
No, we're going with. Oh, we gotta go with the first thing I said. I can't change it.
We were both low on Miami coming into this season, from what I remember. We both had like little faith in their win total. And
yeah,
46 seems like a lot for them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually, they ended up pretty decent.
Yeah. Chicago, you took under at 40 wins. Smart.
So smart.
They won 39. Another good line by me. I set the Raptors line at 40. All around me. They only won 15 games less than that, so it was pretty close.
I took the under.
Yeah, you took the under. And then you took the under on 39 wins for Orlando, which I feel like I could have set at 36 and you would have taken the under on that. You had no faith in them coming into this year. They won 47 games.
Nice.
Indiana, I set the over-under at 37, and you took the under, even though you liked them coming into the year, and 37 is like a paltry amount of wins.
I was trolling at the end.
And they won 10 more games than that. They won 47. Brooklyn, you took the over at 35 wins. Once again, I want to go into your brain at that time, because I feel like you've never been high on this iteration of Brooklyn. But you were like, yeah, they're going to be better than Indiana this year. Even though, like...
No, I thought they'd both be 36.
You took Indiana higher in the draft. Anyway, Brooklyn at
35. Is that the same episode that we did the draft?
Yeah, it's directly afterwards. Like, literally no cut directly afterwards. No other conversation. I go right into it. I'm like, oh, I made some mock-up over-unders. I'll just give them to you. And then you did, yeah. They won 32 games. So, three less than when I said that. You took the over at 33 for Utah?
They hit that, right?
No, they did not. They only won 31. But they were tanking pretty hard at the end of the season. Okay. So
that's a good line.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know what's not a good line is Portland at 30, which you smartly took the under on. They won 21 games.
Nice.
Houston, you took the under at 29. They won 41 games.
Yeah.
But, as we said before, we're kind of low on them. You took the under on 28 for Charlotte. Very smart. They only won 21 games.
Okay.
You took the under at 27 for Detroit. Nice. Very smart. They only won 14 games. You took the under on 23 for San Antonio, which they won 22 games. Really good line by me. Really good call by you. Yeah. The low teams are hard to predict because you don't know how bad bad teams are going to be on any given year. So 23, I'm pretty proud of myself for that. And then Washington, I set it at 20, which you took the over on. They only won 15 games. Yeah, I didn't want to set anything below 20 because it's hard to predict a team being stuff has to go wrong for a team to be that kind of bad. Washington, you could see it a little bit more, but Detroit, I did not think was going to be this bad. Yeah. I thought Cade was going to make a jump, and he kind of did. and he was healthier than he was last year, and they still just weren't good.
I know. Well, that losing streak also I don't know. It felt like they didn't deserve that.
Also, it's just facts that, Dwayne Casey is literally just a better coach than Monty Williams.
Right.
He just is. I've seen them both coach the same team, and, which is crazy. I would not have said that coming here. both former coaches of the year. Monty Williams
won the coach of the year?
Yeah, in Phoenix. Wow. One of the years in Phoenix. Yeah, of course. Really good.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it was the year after their championship season.
Oh, okay.
When they were, really, I think they won 60 games. Right. And then they lost to Dallas by 40 in game 7. Anyway.
Dwayne Casey, though, playoff performer.
I would say he was on average. He was average.
Okay.
He beat everyone that didn't have LeBron.
Yeah, come true. On.
What do you expect from him? His playoff losses are 2019 in Detroit when he lost to that Blake Griffin team to Giannis and the lads, which is an understandable loss.
Yeah.
2018 to LeBron, which that LeBron team was pretty bad, but at the same time, it's LeBron. 2017-16 to LeBron. No.
No shot.
Yeah, no shot. And then, 2015 getting swept by Washington was a little tough. But, one blip in there. It happens. And in 2014, we lost in 7 to Brooklyn, which was fine. They had Paul Pierce. They had Kevin Garnett.
They bought Kyle Lowry?
Yeah. It was a close series.
Is it Paul Pierce that blocks him?
Yeah, he did.
Wow. Paul Pierce. Playoff
performer. He had a good end of career playoff performance thing. Because he has that, and then he has the game winner that he hits with Washington.
I call it game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird that he's wearing a Washington Wizards jersey when he says that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was playing, Immaculate Grid one time, and it was Washington and Boston. And I remember I put him on there, and most people had said that. I was wow, I'm kind of surprised people remember he played there. But at the same time, it's if you're playing Immaculate Grid, you're kind of a basketball nerd, so.
Right, and he's a well-known player.
Yeah, for sure. And, if you don't remember him playing for Boston, then, brother.
Yeah, try a different game.
For sure. So, in general, what would you say after looking at the stats? What's your biggest miss and what's your biggest hit from the season on that you feel
your predictions?
That you feel the worst about, that you're the biggest hit that you feel the most vindicated by, and the biggest miss that you're why did I even pick against them?
I feel pretty good about the Spurs. I know there were a lot of people early on that there's a lot of chatter on them being decent,
mm-hmm.
and I was there's no way. The Spurs are really, really bad. I feel really bad about, I don't know, Atlanta was such an L for me, but a lot of people really thought they were good. I'm trying to think of someone who I was so an outlier for. Who was I? Let me try and think. So I would say being low on OKC maybe.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason.
That's something that I feel bad about, too.
That one hurts.
The thing that I feel most vindicated by is Orlando. Because I was kind of banging that drum coming to the season.
Right,
I was
this you team's were a little be, alone on that one.
I was this team's going to be really good. And there were some people who said it. But even, in NBA media, it wasn't this team's going to be.
No.
There was, a couple nerds who were Banchero and Wagner should look good.
Mm-hmm.
But it did feel like that was a super popular take.
Right.
And then the one that I feel the worst about. I mean, Portland was just my, I'm going to have a hot take coming into the season.
Yeah.
I don't feel too bad.
That was you being spicy.
Yeah, it was me being spicy. I was just maybe it could work out. Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
It could be good.
Dallas is a team that I was really wrong about.
Sure, yeah, you were low on them.
Indiana is a team that I was really wrong about. I'm trying to think of a team I was wrong about. I guess Portland is the team I was wrong about in the other direction that I thought would be a lot better than they ended up being. Atlanta, too. We were both really wrong on them. Atlanta would be good. And, like, the thing is, like, part of that reason is I expected this season that Trae Young did have to come out of Trae Young. Like, Atlanta, it doesn't really make a lot of sense why they're so bad.
I know. Because,
like, Hunter had, like, a pretty good year. And Jalen Johnson was amazing this year. Right. And Murray looked good this year. Like,
he started off slow, I think, is one thing. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just weird. And Quinn Snyder, like, he's not really brought up in, like, worst coaches discussions. No. So, like, that's Monty Williams right now. Or whoever the Washington coach is. But they fired their actual coach halfway through the season. So, like, you can't really, either of the half-season guys in Washington, you can't really blame them. Also, like,
I think Doc Rivers still gets put in that.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, they have two coaches that like, they went from, like, the worst coach in the league to the worst coach in the league. I'm trying to think of another coach who just, like, kind of underperformed with the roster that they had. I can't really think of one. Honestly, Portland. Chauncey Billups should have done more. Portland being the third worst team in the NBA is kind of crazy, man. Like, having the same amount of wins as Charlotte is wild to me still.
Right, who had no Melo.
Yeah. And, cause, like,
early... Well, they didn't have Brogdon for a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. But when they had, like, Brogdon, Grant, Aiden...
Anthony,
Shaden Sharp, like... Those are all, like, dudes. Like, those are all guys. Like, it's not...
They can play.
Yeah, like, before the, like... Charlotte made the trade with OKC early in the year. It was like LaMelo, Bridges, and then like, yikes. Like, Brandon Miller took a bit to get into the swing of things, but he started getting really good by the end. Their center play is not too bad. Who do you think is going to be the worst team in the league next year? What's your guess?
Washington.
Other than Washington. I just realized there's an obvious choice.
Then I will go with... I think Utah blows it up.
I think, yeah, I'm kind of flipped on Portland. Like, we'll see with Portland. And Brooklyn. I think Brooklyn has a chance to be really bad. I think
those teams that are, like, close to the bottom that still have pieces sell, and then they do sell, Brooklyn's going to call.
The thing that's going to make or break, or that's going to signify the direction that Brooklyn's going in, is that Nick Claxton's a free agent this year. And if they keep him, it means that they want to be good. And if they... don't keep him, either through...
sign and trade,
like,
or...
Jesus Christ, please sign and trade him. If they lose him for nothing, that's terrible. That's, like, Toronto Raptors-level asset management. Which, can we talk about something right now? Now that it's the end of the season?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that Pascal Siakam trade?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What was that
Pascal Siakam? I mean, it made sense in the moment. Like, Emmanuel quickly... had really good outside.
That's the OG Anunoby trade. Oh, OG Anunoby trade was good.
Oh, Emmanuel, that was a base trade.
Emmanuel quickly, and RJ Barrett, and then, like, all that we gave up outside of Anunoby was Achiuwa and Flynn. Like, that's a good trade.
You're right. That was
Here's the Siakam trade. We got Kira Lewis, who's gone.
Yeah,
We got Bruce Brown. Basically, the way it works out, because we trade Kira Lewis in a first to Utah, is we get Kelly Olynyk, Bruce Brown, Ochai Agbaji, the 16th pick this year, and a 2026 pick from Indiana.
I don't know, though. Like, it's always tough, because we're going to overvalue Pascal. Maybe he is really only worth two picks. Like, who's other two pick guy? Like, how many picks? Bradley Beal got you, like, one. Well, he's a totally different situation, actually. He's a bad example.
Bradley Beal got Jordan Poole. Like Jordan Poole.
You'd rather have Jordan
you
Poole?
You gotta take a year back. Yeah, 1 year ago, I would rather have Jordan Poole.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure.
Right.
Then anything. I would trade all that we got back for that. For like, Jordan Poole for what he was
that,
1 year
ago. Yeah, that perception of Jordan Poole. You're right.
Like, that's terrible. That is so bad.
Even the moment, we hated it.
Yeah.
I know.
And, like...
he'd be perfect on the Hawks.
Like, once it got to the point in the season where it's like, oh, you know what? Like, he's not going to make All-NBA, so he's going to get, like, the lower max. Why don't we just sign him to the max contract? And if we didn't plan on ever signing him to any level of max contract, that is fine. But why the fuck did we wait until partway through the season to trade him?
Right. Yeah, trade him in the beginning then.
Oh my God. What an absolute garbage.
Yeah, because he probably wouldn't have taken an extension, right?
No.
Because if we extended him, we could have gotten something juicier on it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was terrible. Also, like, we didn't even really need to trade him. Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
He wanted to be here. He would have re-signed.
Mm-hmm. And now we're just going to be bad.
And it's not even like he's thriving.
Yeah, like...
Like, we didn't even send him to, like, a great situation.
Like, in 5 years, like, outside of the OG Anunoby trade, because that trade was good.
Yeah.
We lose Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, Norm Powell, and Fred VanVleet. And all that we get from all of those players is Gary Trent, who might not re-sign this offseason, and we might lose for nothing.
Right.
And even if we do keep him, he's like max a fifth starter.
Right.
At his absolute best. And like a couple middling firsts.
And Bruce like, Brown.
Yeah, and Bruce Brown, and like Precious Achiuwa was part of like the New York trade, but it feels like
it was a
he could have been replaced with any other player. Like yeah. If I don't know, it's just we have been unable, like ever since our championship team, we've been unable to manage any assets, whether it's right. The management's fault or not. None of the assets have been managed in a good way, other than OG Anunoby. I like that trade, even in retrospect. If I'm New York and I've got it, because he's going to ask for, the reports are it's going to be 40 million.
We also kind of get Jakob Poeltl through Kyle Lowry. Through Lowry, then Dragic, then Poeltl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think they were like, I don't think San Antonio called us up asking for Goran Dragic. I'll put it that way.
Right.
But yeah, our asset management is just so bad. It's so bad over multiple years. And I just don't... And just the fact that we never picked a direction. And like, oh my God, man.
Well, we did now.
Yeah.
It's better late than never.
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually that rare, though, that you lose really good players for nothing? Like, teams that win championships, like, and then split up. Yeah, you usually get something.
Like, when Durant left Golden State, they changed that asset into D'Angelo Russell,
Wiggins.
Who they turned into Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuminga. The pick that became Kuminga, at least.
They got Kuminga through Durant?
No, through... When they traded D'Lo for Wiggins and a first.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn. Which made no sense a couple years ago, and now it's like, oh, D'Lo is better than Wiggins once again. Yeah. Like, usually you get something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, barring something crazy happening. Like think about the
champions. Cleveland, what does Cleveland have?
They got Colin Sexton for Kyrie Irving, who they ended up being one of the major pieces in the Donovan Mitchell trade.
Okay.
True.
But that's not a lot either. I bet you they're equally upset.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. Like, the 8th overall pick is a big difference to 16. And, right. And, like, 8 in a good draft. Like, that year was a good draft year versus 16.
Colin Sexton was an 8th pick?
Yeah. Versus 16 is in a bad draft year is not good.
But they lose Love for nothing. They lose Braun for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they had to cut Love.
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted him gone. He was throwing a fit.
Yeah, and like they made a lot of trades around that time. Like they also got Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie, and Isaiah Thomas they end up trading to get Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance, who both played a bunch of years of decent basketball for them, at least a few years. I mean, like Jordan Clarkson had a better career for them than I would say Gary Trent had for us, marginally. And he's like the second best asset they got back instead of like, the best of all the players that we've traded,
right?
Yeah, like, it's pretty rare for you to lose absolutely everything, unless your players are all old. Our team, like, we had young players that we lost for everything from that team, you know?
Kind of. Like, the Gasol and the Gasol part of it, he was super old. He ends up retiring 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Surge, like, 3 years, right? Or 4 years.
When Milwaukee traded for... Serge Ibaka, they trade Dante DiVincenzo for him.
Oh,
I wouldn't mind getting Dante DiVincenzo on our team.
Wait, how did Serge end up on the Knicks?
No, he went to Milwaukee for Dante DiVincenzo.
Wait, where's DiVincenzo now? Is he not on the Knicks?
He is on the Knicks. He went to Sacramento. It was like a trade for a trade.
Oh, okay. Then he got traded again?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's tough. it's tough. Norm Powell got even less when he went on the next trade. So.
Right.
But that's also like...
That but also Portland's insane. Like yeah. doesn't is somehow worse than we are at asset management.
Yeah, they're really, really, really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, they go from like conference finals team to they have Ayton.
And Jeremy Grant. But I think
Jeremy Grant's a signed thing. That's not even from trades.
Yeah, Brogdon, well, they traded a second for like Jeremy Grant. They traded nothing, I remember.
Oh really?
Yeah, yeah. Brogdon and Grant will I hope that they're both off the team by next year. I think they can get quite a bit for both of them. I think combined.
Well, I know Grant's on a super long contract because he just re-signed. Like, literally, this was his first year. What about Brogdon?
No, one more year on it.
Mm-hmm. Expiring.
So it feels like they'll get more for Grant if they trade him. Because by 30 mil per feels like it's going to be pretty cheap by the time that the end of that contract comes up. For like a third or fourth best player. He gets paid like less than like a Michael Porter Jr. or like a Drew Holiday. And it feels like he could be that fourth best guy on a championship team. I would look at, I'm trying to think of a team that could put together the cap to get him. Like Dallas could put PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford together to get him. And like that would make them a better team next year. But I want to see how they look with this current roster. I
mean, like whatever, slightly better.
Yeah, but it's like an Aaron Gordon kind of trade where like depending on what you put, because he shoots 42% from three on the bad teams. So like imagine you put him with like a Luka or a LeBron, and he's like big and he can defend threes and fours like at a high level.
Well, that's what he was known for, right? Defensive guy. Yeah, I mean we're done. The championship part of our team. I mean, we have been done for a few years.
Yeah, I'm worried. I think we might be staring down the barrel of a multi-year rebuild, which would suck. Which would really, really suck.
I mean, if we didn't have Scotty, it would be a certainty. That's our only shining hope.
Yeah,
well, that's like, the light at the end of the tunnel.
If we didn't have Scotty this year, like we would be in the Washington, Detroit, San Antonio, like Eric,
well, not
for
San Antonio.
Just this year of like how good we are. Yeah. Well, even Detroit, like I'd rather have Cade than anything other than Scotty on our team.
True, true.
Shit, I'd probably rather have like fucking Jaden Ivey than like half of our under 25 players. Like, their young core is, like, all right. I don't hate it. Like, Ivy, Cade, and Dern, it feels like...
Yeah.
I don't know, though. It's been too many years where I've been, like, their young core isn't that bad, and they've won, like, less than 20 games. So maybe it is that bad. Like,
especially... At some point, you get some wins.
Like, the one casualty so far up that is Isaiah Stewart. Like, Isaiah Stewart is not a good NBA player. No. I've given up on that. Mm-hmm. I thought he was good a couple years ago. He's not.
When he was beefing LeBron.
Yeah. When he was running down the locker and trying to get the other side.
Yeah, Giannis is very similar to that.
And then he had another story like that this year, where he like punched Drew Eubanks before a game, and then like police got involved.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Yeah,
damn.
Jokes. Yeah, excited for the playoffs. Not excited for Raptors basketball for the next couple years.
Who knows? Who knows? If we keep our pick this year, it'll change. Good.
Yeah, for sure.
We get Sar. Is that his name?
Yeah. I like him a lot. He's like Gage Jones type of player.
What's his first name?
Alexander.
Alexander.
Yeah, he plays for the Perth Aussie. Wildcats. He's actually French.
Oh.
But he plays in Australia.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But he's an Evan Mobley, Jaren Jackson Jr. is his comps. So, very switchable, tall defender, which kind of works for us because, like, it's like we don't really need a center, but, like, that mold is like, actually, don't play this guy at center at all costs. Please play him at power forward. And then,
I mean,
like,
he'd probably like it here. Bilingual country. He'd have Boucher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, who knows,
I kind of wish he was Australian. I love the way Aussies talk. Yeah. I'd be keen on that.
Like, have we ever had... Like, what's our last Australian? I don't know if we've had one.
Us? I don't think so.
Which is crazy, because we're, like... We have a lot of people from different places, historically on our team.
I know Brooklyn was hogging all of them. They had Kyrie, Ben Simmons, Patty Mills.
Yeah, Patty Mills. Australia should be good this summer. And we'll see. We'll see what they have. What they can throw together.
Are they an R thing?
Maybe. Possibly.
We'll see.
We'll see if they're an R thing or not. Well, you guys will have to tune in next time to our podcast to find out that information.
We'll see then, and we'll see you next time.
Gotta mention Plumlee at the end though.